Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, jump on in the chat. We're live. I know we're 5 minutes late every stream. It's because we don't have an intro. So I got to get all my little stuff ready, get it switched on my pages, and all that good stuff. I hope my chat works tonight, because right now it's showing that it's not working. So I hope we're live. I can't tell. Let's see. Yeah, it looks like we are live. For whatever reason, my chat is not working. So hopefully it starts working soon. Let me go to my other screen. Okay, so the chat's working there, but it's not working on my end. So let me try to fix this really quick. Let me also fix my Facebook. This is why, guys, I'm late. Every time I go on, I have everything checked, everything ready, everything perfect, and then something just goes wrong, something comes up. So let me check on Facebook. Are we live on Facebook? Let's see. Testing, loading. Yes, we are. All right, I guess I can exit out of there. Let me just try to close and open the chat. Type where you're watching from. Hit the like button, guys. It's going to be a good night. Let me turn the music off. Man. Come on, chat. Work. Work. Restream. You guys, I need to contact them. They need to get their stuff together. Well, let me see. How am I going to know that I'm live? I already have all my points and stuff on the other screen. So I'll just put it on my phone here to make sure that I'm still live throughout the broadcast. And then at the end, I will read the chat on the screen. But let me just put it here. And I'll peek over down at this every once in a while. We're just going to have to do it like this. I don't know what else to do. My chat's not working on my end, so there we go. I'm going to leave it on my screen there, and then if that turns off, I'll know that I'm not live anymore. Tonight's going to be an amazing night. Please like and share and post this broadcast wherever you can. We are in episode 165 of Monday Night Teaching, Monday Night Fire. This is our teaching stream. Tomorrow we have a podcast with Angela. I got to figure out her new last name. It was Uchi. Now it's Scafidi. I think that's how you say it. Scafidi. I'll figure it out. But Angela and Nayla Rose will be on tomorrow. Angela was an astrologer. Nayla was literally a blood witch. And they're going to be both sharing some of their story, but then talking about exposing the enemy's plan, talking about coming out of the new age and some of the demonic new age practices we see in the world and why people are embracing them and why you should not embrace them. Why you should not embrace these new age practices. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock is going to be an amazing broadcast. January 28th, I'll be at the Way World Outreach in San Bernardino. So if you want to come see me there, that's on my website, January 28th, Sunday morning, free event. February 24th, I'll be in Antioch, California. That's a Saturday night. That's also on my website. You can go check that out. And I want to give you guys my new stream schedule for 2024 as my chat breaks here. My new stream schedule is going to be Monday night at 6, stays the same. Tuesday night at 6, stays the same. And then Thursday at noon, Thursday, not Friday. We're changing it. I don't want to get into all the details, but we're changing it because we need to. So Thursday will be at noon, and then Thursday will be noon, 1:30 p.m. on Thursday. Every Thursday, we're going to have our partner prayer meeting. So if you're a monthly partner, you're going to be getting a link next week with a static link. It'll be the same link all year, so just save it in your notes. And every Thursday at 1:30 Pacific, we will be praying together with our monthly partners. That will be starting January 25th, not this Thursday. But the Thursday after, we're starting our weekly partner prayer meetings. That'll be for those that are YouTube members. You do monthly on YouTube, or you are a member on my website monthly. And if you want to become one, you can give on isaiahsaldivar.com/partner and sign up for our monthly. I wish I could open these to the whole stream, but every time we've done that, we crash Zoom with 1,000 people. So this will be for the monthly partners. I got build a relationship with you guys, pray with you guys, and that's going to be a good time. And then we'll have new videos on the weekend. So Monday 6, Tuesday 6, Thursday at noon. That's going to be the stream schedule for this next year. A couple ways you can help the broadcast. Number one, by liking the broadcast, sharing the broadcast, and partnering with us financially. That is going to help us out tremendously. That literally keeps us going. It enables us to keep doing what we're doing full time, is by you guys partnering with us. So please pray about doing that. That'll help us tremendously. I want to go hard again this year. This is my fifth year live streaming. I want to keep going hard. We reached over 200 million people last year. Over 260 hours, over 11 million hours watched, 260 hours streamed. I don't even remember, like 2.5 million live comments. I don't remember all the stats, but we reached 200 million people last year for the gospel and the glory of God. So make sure that you guys are partnering with us. It helps us out tremendously. You can do all that there. All right, here we go. We are starting out. We're talking about spiritual abuse. This week, we're going to talk about testing, manifestations of the spirit, false signs and wonders, and then I want to talk about characteristics of people that are easily deceived, easily fall into deception. Now, I want to say this on the front of the stream, is deception is tricky because you don't know you're being deceived. So when you're under deception, it wouldn't be deception if you knew you were being deceived. And there is a lot of deception happening in the body of Christ, a lot of deceptive leaders, a lot of weird stuff going on. And I do believe this year, God is moving, taking the covers off of Satan. Many ministers that are living in gross sexual sin, gross compromise, living carnal, living worldly, manipulating people, controlling people, using witchcraft on people, dominating, all of these unhealthy, ungodly character traits, God is exposing this year. Not man. It's not man that's exposing. I'm not talking about, you know, this is not going to become a Heresy Hunter channel. God is exposing them. God is lifting off the covers. The Bible says nothing that's done in darkness will not eventually be brought to the light. So that's what God is doing. So I want to start tonight by reading a prophetic word for 2024 by a friend of mine, Jeremiah Johnson, which I believe is a very powerful word. I'll just read a part of it, but this is what he says, the whistleblowers. He says this for 2024, a prophetic word. There is an ungodly and unhealthy allegiance and loyalty to men in ministries that God is going to confront in 2024. It has produced cult-like behavior and activity that has blinded the multitudes to the truth that is coming in the valley decision. Listen to what he says here. Will we choose righteousness or condone wickedness and sin? We must not confuse loyalty to one another with loyalty to the truth. In fact, one's loyalty to another only runs as deep as one's loyalty to the truth. If we sacrifice our loyalty to the truth in the name of loyalty to another person, we will end up disloyal to both the truth and that person. Had Paul the Apostle sacrificed the truth of the gospel in Galatians 2:14 in the name of personal loyalty to Peter, or out of being intimidated by Peter's prior relationship to Christ, he would never open up his mouth. But because Paul's loyalty to the truth of the gospel, listen to this, exceeded his loyalty to Peter, Barnabas, or anyone else, he rebuked him and was therefore loyal to both Peter and the truth and everyone else. Paul proved this in regard. He was a true servant of Jesus Christ. So what Jeremiah is saying is, it's time to be loyal to God. We're not loyal to people. We're not loyal to friends. We're not loyal to other ministers. We're loyal to the truth. And we as believers, I'm just side noting here, this is not in his word. I'll go back to his word in a minute. We cannot allow corruption in the body of Christ. Come on, Chad, are you here tonight? Share this with someone. We cannot allow corrupt leaders to continue to manipulate, dominate, and abuse people and get away with spiritual abuse. We have to put our foot down. We have to stop this. So he goes on to say, I've had several prophetic dreams, and I continue to see anointed men and women of God blow a whistle in hidden corruption, immorality, and drunkenness in the body of Christ. North Carolina, Texas, Oklahoma, and Florida are states I saw these whistleblowers, or the whistles blown. A whistleblower is an individual who reveals information about a person or organization that is deemed illegal, immoral, illicit, unsafe, or fraudulent. The work of a whistleblower is not inspired by Satan because they don't falsely accuse, they don't lie, and they don't deceive. Whistleblowers operate in truth and are inspired by God to save his people from peril and destruction. In 2024, we're going to see several whistleblowers rise from within the churches, denominations, and ministries to sound the alarm on hidden wickedness and sin. These whistleblowers will be faced of their own valley of decision. Will they be more loyal to the men and ministries they love or the truth of God's word? Again, the intentions and desires of God in these tragic circumstances are to release clarity, unity, and love for truth. So those who understand the Holy Spirit is revealing in this late hour. Psalms 24 will be very significant for 2024. Verses 3 and 4 says, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in this holy place? One who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to deceit and has not sworn deceitfully. In the valley of decision of 2024, we must choose clean hands and a pure heart. We must choose holiness and the fear of the Lord. We must walk humbly before God and ask him to reveal any crooked ways in us. We must seek to understand if we've chosen loyalty to men and their ministries over love for the truth of God's word. Okay, that was the end of his word, end quote. What an amazing word. I do believe this resonates, that this is the year where God is exposing. This is the year where God is removing leaders. This is the year where God is taking that sin and corruption and sexual immorality and adultery that is happening in high up leaders, and God is exposing it. And I'm praying, God, expose these things. Don't let these things continue, Lord. Expose this wickedness and this corruption. So if you're a leader or a pastor and you're hiding your secret sin, it's going to be exposed. God is going to expose this. I believe God is pulling the covers on abusive, manipulative, and false leaders. And we as the body of Christ, chat, talk to me. We cannot be okay with leaders that are living in sin like this. We cannot be okay with leaders that are manipulative. We cannot be okay with leaders that allow you to worship them, that have made a show of the move of God, that have made a show of revival, that have made a show of deliverance, that have made a show of signs and wonders. We need to get back to the holiness of God, the fear of the Lord, come on, and the holiness of the Word of God. We cannot allow leaders that don't walk in holiness, that don't walk in righteousness. Why aren't we holding these leaders to a standard? Why don't you guys hold us? You should hold me to a standard. There should be a standard of how I live, how I talk, how I act, how I conduct business, how I treat my wife, how I treat my kids. You should hold people to a standard. It shouldn't be okay that leaders are abusive. Leaders are manipulative. Leaders are in witchcraft. Leaders are doing all of these things. I'm being careful here. I'm treading lightly because I'm not trying to get on here and just blast everybody. But we know we need to hold leaders to a higher standard. We need to hold leaders to walk in righteousness and holiness. Stop putting up with the spiritual abuse in the body of Christ. Stop putting up with compromised leaders. Stop turning a blind eye to sin, pride, arrogance, and bad character and integrity because you like the way they preach, or you like the way they perform signs and wonders, or you like the way they minister, or you got saved in their ministry. That is not enough. That is not okay to have all of these ungodly traits and then you justify it by saying, well, I really like the way they preach. Guys, it doesn't matter how good I preach if I'm living in sin. It doesn't matter how good I preach if I'm walking in compromise. It doesn't matter how good. It doesn't matter if I reach a million people if I'm abusing people and living in sexual immorality. I'll stand before God according to Matthew 7 and he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You worker of lawlessness. So it doesn't matter what good you do if you are living in secret sin and in compromise. And so God's cleansing his church. We know this. I don't need to mention any names. We know this. God is cleansing his church. God is exposing things. And God is coming back for a pure... What, guys, type in the chat what bride Christ is coming back for. Is Christ coming back for a sinful bride? Is he coming back for an abusive bride? Is he coming back for a manipulative bride? I read the Bible and the Bible says Christ is coming back for a spotless bride, for a clean bride, for a pure bride, for a washed bride, for a bride living holy, pure. He's not coming back for a corrupt church, corrupt leadership. I don't care how many miracles and how good I can preach if I'm living in sin, if I'm abusing people, if I have bad character. We need the church to care more about spiritual fruit than spiritual gifts. Am I preaching tonight? So enough of this abusive leadership in the body of Christ. Enough of the leaders that are doing witchcraft. Stop putting up with it. Demand a higher standard from your pastors. Demand a higher standard from your leaders. Put a demand on your leaders and pastors and say, oh, I don't think that's okay. I don't think you should act that way. I don't think you should lash out like that. I don't think you should rant and rave like that. I don't think you should be going there. I don't think you should be watching that. As a pastor, put them to the standard. I mean, God forbid I'm out here watching horror movies, drinking, partying on my Instagram, or manipulating people or abusing people. Like, God forbid I do that. You guys should say something. Like, Isaiah, what are you doing? You're a leader in the body of Christ. You're supposed to live above reproach because you have a higher standard to live by. So I believe in 2024, you're going to see a holy separation. A group of the body of Christ, listen to me closely. It's already happening. A group of the body of Christ will side with error and erroneous New Age teachings under the banner of spirituality and revival. And another group will side with the Word of God. One group will side with erroneous, abusive, witchcraft, New Age teaching, and another group will side with the Word of God. You need to make sure you're on the right side of history. I want to make sure I'm on the right side of history. Judgment begins in the house of God. I heard a preacher recently say, God doesn't judge his church. God doesn't judge believers. Only preachers living in sin say that. I'm sorry to tell you. Only preachers that don't want to be judged, that are hiding secret sin, say that God doesn't judge and God doesn't judge his people. Let me show you in the Bible what it says in 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin in the house of God. Let me say that again, 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin in the house of God. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate will it be for those who never obeyed the good news of Jesus? If judgment begins with us, come on, chat, us, me, what terrible judgment will it be for those that never obeyed the word of God? And then verse 18 says this, and also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to the godless sinners? Guys, if the righteous are barely saved, then what happens to the sinners? This is what your Bible says. I know all of you are like, oh, well, I just have faith. I just believe. I don't need to worry about my salvation. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And then in 1 Peter 4:18 says, the righteous are barely saved. Where does that leave the godless sinners? Where does that leave pastors and leaders that spiritually abuse people that are operating in false signs and wonders? Now, the reason why people fall into spiritual abuse by the hands of leaders and pastors is they look to the leader as if he himself is God. So leaders and pastors make themselves God in the eyes of the people, usually by performing miraculous signs and wonders, by having a very strong gifting to preach or to teach, or a very strong spiritual gift. They make themselves equal to God, and then you look at the leader as God himself, so he can't be wrong. Like, how do leaders get away? Think about this. All the leaders we've seen fall in the last 6 months, how do they get away with sexual immorality? How do they get away with molesting and abusing and doing things to, you know, people that work at the church or assistants or the keyboard player or whatever it is? They get away with it because the person looks at them as if they're God, and they think, well, God can't do no wrong. So we have to get it straight. As leaders, we are not God. We are God's children. We are God's representatives. We are God's servants, but we are not even close to being equal to God. When you look at people as if they are God, they can do no wrong. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, you will side with them. You will side with them. They can do the most. I have seen ministers do the most perverted, wrong things, and then it goes viral on social media, and there's still a massive group that sides with them. I don't understand this. They'll get caught doing something extremely wrong, extremely abusive, and they'll have an entire... If you have your favorite leader get on and it comes out that he cheats on his wife, let's say, with evidence and all of that, there's still people that will side with that leader. Oh, well, he's a man of God. I don't care if he made one mistake. I recently had one person tell me, because I was talking about atrocities that a leader did in the body of Christ. The person commented this. They said, I don't care if everything this man abused people and did all these crazy things. I don't care if he did all those things. He's still a man of God to me. I don't even care. That, my friends, is how deceived the body of Christ is right now. That is how deceived some of us are right now, that you don't even care that leaders live sinful. You don't even care that leaders are RAPEing people and molesting people and living in sexual sin and getting drunk and partying after service and doing all of these things to manipulate people. We don't even care. Doesn't even matter to us. And they plead the fifth and they act like they haven't done it and they get caught over and over and over and over again. And a lot of you guys still support them. You're still fine with it. We need to be extremely careful that we're not following spiritually abusive leaders. Remember Matthew 24:11. Jesus said that false prophets will rise up and they will deceive many. There's going to be a massive deception. There's going to be two categories. Those that are deceiving people, and there will be a harsh judgment for them. And those that are being deceived. Those are going to be the two categories that we see in the body of Christ. The ones doing the deception and the ones being deceived. Now, you could be either one of these tonight. And I pray and pray, Lord, I never want to walk in pride, God. I never want to think I know it all. I never want to deceive anybody. I never want to step into deception, God. I never want to be arrogant or proud or think I'm above everyone else or think I know it all. I don't ever want to be a know-it-all. I don't ever want to be above it, above reproach and too proud to receive correction. I received correction this week. A few days ago by one of my pastors. And I said, absolutely, 100%. Whatever you say, whatever you think, I'll do. I don't want to live my life above reproach and above, you know, people being able to correct me and people being able to speak into me and everybody's wrong, but I'm right. No, we have to live humble. We have to submit ourselves. This is how we avoid spiritual abuse. or being spiritually abused. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved. Now, this is the Bible I'm quoting here. So don't get mad at me. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. I'm going to talk to you about testing spirits tonight. How do I test a spirit? I'm going to show you. Test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. So when a prophet comes to us, or a leader, or a preacher, or a manifestation, or sign and wonder, or spirit, we are to test the spirits. We are supposed to say, this is not a true prophet. This is a false prophet. I'm not following them, based on testing the spirits, testing what they say. We're not talking about fault finding. We're not talking about calling every prophet or teacher out. I have no interest in pointing every little thing out about someone. I have no interest in calling people out. I think I've said one or two things in 1,700 videos about people that were doing insanely dark things. And there's been a temptation, and I prayed about certain people. Lord, do you want me to expose this? And I felt like the Lord says, Isaiah, that's not your assignment right now. So, okay, I'm just going to stay quiet and keep teaching and preaching. And if God tells me to, I will. But if God doesn't, I won't. But trust me, in my own desires, there's stuff that I want to blast. There's stuff that I want to call out, but you should be testing the spirits. You should have the discernment. You should have that spiritual discernment to say, I'm going to test the spirit. Guys, I want to build a healthy community of people that are deception proof. And here's why. Because they're rooted in relationship with God and they know his word on a serious level. I want to be on a serious level. I don't want to be around people that are deceived. I don't want to be easily fallen into whatever doctrine comes around. I'm very skeptical when people, I have a new teaching. I'm very skeptical of that new teaching. Does it line up with the word of God? Is it biblical what your practice is or what you're doing? Because if not, I'm very, very skeptical. So we need to be rooted in God's word. Now, some of you might ask, like, why does God allow these false teachers to rise up? Why does God allow these ministers to be famous or whatnot? Well, first of all, the world can be famous more than even the church. So fame, following, and numbers does not mean you're godly. Because you can prophesy somebody's phone number does not mean you're of God. Because you can give somebody their address or their name does not mean you are of God. And I want you to also watch some of the false prophets that you guys follow. What you're going to notice about them is they only prophesy at their own church. Why do you think that is? I've talked about this before. When they travel, they don't prophesy. But somehow conveniently, when they're around people they know, they give all these accurate prophetic words. Yet every time they travel, there's no prophecy happening. I would say, and I know this, I have facts and receipts on this, there are people that are prophesying falsely, that are getting information from people and then setting it up to look mighty, to look powerful, to get a big offering, to manipulate, to abuse. Likely next week, I will talk about signs whether your pastor is a real pastor or a cult leader. I'm going to give you signs of what a cult leader is like probably next week, because I don't want us to fall into deception. I don't want us to have deceptive leaders. There needs to be a cleansing in the body of Christ. There needs to be a washing in the body of Christ. But look at what Deuteronomy 13:1 says. If a prophet or one who foretells dreams appears among you and announces a sign and wonder, and if the sign and wonder or spoken word takes place, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you've not known, and let us worship them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and all your soul. Okay, so Deuteronomy says, if there's a prophet or a leader or a pastor, whatever, a leader that does a sign and wonder, and whatever they say takes place, so they speak a prophetic word and it happens. They speak a prophecy and it happens. And the prophet says, let us follow other gods and let us worship them. The Bible says, don't listen to that prophet if they lead you into sin, if they lead you into compromise, if they lead you into doing something that the Bible tells you not to do, or they're saying things that are not in the Bible, like God doesn't judge his church. That's not in the Bible. Or like lust is not sin. That's not in the Bible. Or it's okay to do things, and I've heard them say this, a lot of them. Oh, it makes my head spin. It's okay to do these sexual things, even though the Bible says it's not okay. Whenever you, help me, Holy Spirit. Whenever you start seeing people preach hyper grace, once saved, always saved, you don't have to strive, you don't have to try, you're fine. When you see people slip into that hyper grace message, just know their secret sin behind the scenes that they're covering for, their secret compromises in their life that they're covering for. So run from this hyper grace message. If a prophet says something and it comes to pass, and then they try to get you to follow other gods, the Bible says God is testing you. So why does God allow these false prophets' words to come to pass, or them to give these words in the first place? To test you, to see if you truly love him or not. Corrupt people are drawn to corrupt leadership. When you don't truly follow God, love God, and you're just kind of interested in checking God off your list, you will fall for corrupt leadership. So we have a lot of pastors in America telling people it's okay to serve other gods, telling people it's okay to serve success, telling people it's okay to serve materialism, telling people it's okay to serve whatever it is, looks or vanity. Like, guys, can I just say this? And you guys can let me know. Maybe I'm wrong. I might be wrong on this. You guys tell me in the chat. Is it weird to you that pastors, prophets, name whatever you want to name them, will post 15 pictures on their Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube channel of them in designer clothes, modeling designer clothes? Like, that's so weird to me. They have 15 pictures of them in, you know, a $20,000 outfit, and they're sitting on a chair with their legs open, men, and they're wearing super tight leather pants, and they're modeling their nice little jacket. Like, I just think in my mind, I can't imagine the Apostle Paul doing that. I can't imagine Jesus doing that. You imagine Jesus putting on a Gucci outfit and then modeling it and then posting on social media. Like, I don't understand if we're Christ's ambassadors. And then what are we teaching the people? We're teaching the people to be carnal. We're teaching the people to serve clothes, serve money, be good looking. You know, we're flexing that we're good looking. Even like, anyways, I know my friends are like going to be mad here. I don't really care. Like, I don't understand. How are you a pastor posting gym selfies? I'm just saying, I know people are going to get convicted. You're over there flexing in the mirror. It just feels weird. Like, what are you trying to lead people to? Are you trying to get people to stumble? Are you trying to get people to fall in the sin? Are you trying to get women to lust after you? If you're a man dressing in designer clothing, or you're in shape and you're flexing in the mirror, you're causing people to lust after you. So I'm just confused. And we tolerate this. Why? Because they prophesy good. Because they preach good. You will never, in a trillion years, and I'm not trying to be self-righteous, ever catch me, well, there ain't much to flex, but still, flexing in the mirror. You will never catch me wearing expensive designer clothing with 15 pictures at a little photo shoot where I'm sitting on a chair with my legs open and I'm, you know, like this, and I have an expensive watch on and I have a little jacket over my... Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Spiritual leaders leading people into vanity. This is what I'm telling you. They're getting us to serve other gods. Serve the gods of money. Serve the gods of vanity. Serve the worldly gods that say, look better, do better. It's all about you. They're preaching a different gospel. Jeremiah 5:30 says, a horrible and shocking thing is happening in the land. The prophets prophesy lies. The priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it this way. But what will you do in the end? So God says, they love this. Yeah, and a lot of this stuff, I'm just going to tell you right now, in my opinion, I mean, I probably am not even allowed to say this. I'm just totally stepping over the line. Oh, well. I think a lot of it is borderline homosexuality. I think a lot of stuff we see in some leaders out here is borderline homosexuality and homosexual tendencies, but I'm not going to go into that. That's just me. The Bible says a horrible and shocking thing is happening. The prophets prophesy lies, and the people love it. The people love it that way. So these smooth, nice prophetic words, these watered-down sermons, people love them. They want to hear about how easy it is. They want to hear how they can live and do whatever they want. They want these. There's no repentance. There's no holiness. There's no revival. They want this. They want you to tell them how easy the narrow road is. Now we have to ask ourselves, did Jesus say the narrow road was easy? Did he? Did Jesus say following him was easy? No. Did Jesus say being saved was easy? No. He said, difficult is the way that leads to life. Narrow is the door. So I have to decide, I'm either serving Jesus and doing what he says, or I'm serving this false gospel. So we know right now, leaders will use signs and wonders to abuse, to manipulate, to gain control over people, and to get you to think that they are God. I'm 150% for signs and wonders. If you know me, you know I have hours and hours of how to pray for the sick. What does the Bible say about healing, speaking in tongues, gifts of the Holy Spirit I did a few weeks ago, casting out demons. We have a deliverance map with thousands of people. I love it. I'm as charismatic as they come. I believe in signs and wonders. But we also, if we believe in signs and wonders, have to realize that we need to test the signs and wonders. We need to test the works that are happening because we don't want counterfeit miracles happening and not know about it. Okay, so when a manifestation, and I'm going to show you how to test the signs and wonders, and I'm also going to tell you about why some of you are easily deceived, and we can change. Praise the Lord that we're going to reveal truth tonight and change. But when a manifestation happens, okay, a sign, a wonder, a miracle, deliverance, whatever, we need to ask ourselves, what is the source? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it demonic spirit? Because I've seen in churches I've been to, demons manifesting, and I've told you guys this story before, and the pastor thinking it's the Holy Spirit. I've been in meetings where people are manifesting the Holy Spirit, and it's actually a demon. So the devil will come in and put on a show. The devil will come on with false signs and wonders, false manifestations, and so we need to make sure that we're walking in the fear of the Lord and holiness, and we're discerning these signs and wonders. What spirit did this come from? Because remember, Jesus said, false prophets will rise up and do signs and wonders and deceive many. So we have to make sure that we don't allow false spirits or a weird false Holy Spirit to enter into our life. When people are at the altar slithering like a snake, that is not the Holy Spirit. That's a demonic spirit. Okay. And we're allowing these false spirits in. I have pastors tell me, oh, people are manifesting like animals. It's the Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not a joke. He's not a game. He's not going to make you slither around like a snake. The Holy Spirit's not going to abuse people. When people are smacking people at the altar, physically hitting people at the altar, that's not the Holy Ghost. I don't care what you say, well, it's an act of faith. No, it's an act of Satan. It's demonic. It's not God. God does not humiliate people. If my wife's at the altar and you smack my wife, there's going to be problems, okay? There's going to be, I'm just going to say that. Now, I will 100% press assault charges. If a man of God slapped my wife, 100% I'm pressing charges for assault. That's assault. Hitting somebody is assault. Don't tell me that's God humiliating my wife at the altar when you smack her or when you hit her in the stomach or knock her over or whatever it is. That's not called God. That's called assault, and it's demonic, and the Holy Spirit doesn't abuse people. He heals people. The Holy Spirit doesn't hurt people. Show me where the Holy Spirit was punching people. Show me where Paul was punching people. Show me where, well, brother, they got healed. Was it the devil healing them or was it God? Because remember, the devil does signs and wonders. The devil does these things. Inappropriate touching. How is that God? How are guys putting their hands on women's breasts during the altar time, praying for them, posting it online, and you guys are like, amen, praise God, man of God. You healed her, man of God, and his hands on your wife's breast. Am I the only one? Pagani, are you in the chat? Bro, am I the only one seeing this? And y'all are okay with this? And then it's like, I don't know why my husband doesn't want to come to church. Maybe because your husband saw a video of you getting your hands laid on you by some false prophet and he stuck his hand on your chest and your husband doesn't want to come. I wouldn't want to come either. That's just weird. So we have this spiritual abuse happening in the body of Christ. People are afraid to call it out. I'm a charismatic, so I could call it out. Okay, the Reformed people, they don't believe in miracles. They call it out. No one takes them serious. I'm charismatic. I believe in prophecy. I prophesy every service that I do the altar call at. I pray for people. I cast out demons. I lay hands on the sick. There's a right way to do it. Hitting, pushing, humiliating, telling people to bow down before you, making people get on their knees before you. All of that, I will confidently say, is not of God. And I'm very careful when I say that. That's spiritual abuse. And this is demonic, okay? And I'm not saying they know they're being demonic, but it is. The Holy Spirit does not need your help. Stop pushing people. The Holy Spirit doesn't need you to help him, okay? If it's the Holy Ghost knocking them over, then you don't need to push your hand down on them. You see guys out here where their heads are going back and the person's put. If you're praying for someone and their head is like this, I have a long neck, all the way back, that's not the Holy Ghost, that's the person pushing the other person down. No wonder why a lot of these churches, we got neck issues out here. I've had pastors push me I had one pastor, I'm like, I'm not falling if it's not God. And I kid you not, he pushed me from the front of the room to the back of the room. And that was the last time I ever went to that church. It's so wrong to do this to people. And I, as a charismatic leader, feel like I need to call some of this stuff out because it's wrong. It's a turnoff. It's gross. It's not God. It's a poor representation. And God's like, that ain't me. That ain't me, chief. So what spirit did it come from? Because we know demonic spirits also have power. We need to be very, very careful. Look at what 2 Corinthians 11:12 says. I got a lot more tonight, by the way. 2 Corinthians 11:12. But I will continue doing what I've always done. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast their work is just like, that their work is just like ours. So Paul says, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And me doing what I'm doing the right way will undercut those that are looking for an opportunity to boast their work just like ours. These people, this is what Paul says, not me. So don't get mad at me. Get mad at Paul. Paul says, these people are false apostles. Let me say that again. I didn't say it. Paul said it. These people are false apostles. Guys, can I say something really quick? I'm not calling anybody out. Nobody's in my mind. Okay, those of you watching, they're like, he must be talking about so-and-so. I'm not thinking of anybody. I'm just preaching the word and preaching what God's bringing to me right now. How do we have people that overnight become apostles that don't even go to a local church? You cannot be an apostle if you're not even from a local church. If you don't attend a local church, you're not an apostle. Who sent you? People like overnight became apostles. And I'm like, who sent you? I don't know. You don't even go to church on Sunday. There's a lot of guys you follow, they don't even have a local church, and yet somehow they have apostle now over their name and over their flyer. I'm just like, I'm just saying, if you don't have no local church pastor or no leader or no covering that sent you, it's a little bit sus. Okay, let's keep going. This is what Paul said, these people are false apostles. They're undercut. They're looking to boast their works. They're looking to boast what they do. He says, they are deceitful workers that disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised. So Paul says, I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as angels of light. Even Satan disguises himself as angels of light. So it is no wonder that his servants. So Paul is calling these leaders, these apostles in the church, they're doing signs and wonders, they're boasting. Paul's calling them false apostles. And he says, and they disguise themselves because they're like their leader, Satan. That's what he says. But they disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And he says, in the end, they'll get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. So it is clear there are false apostles, abusive leaders. And next week, I'll talk more about that, cult-like leaders and what are signs of a cult-like leader. But they disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. And Paul says, I'm not surprised because their leader, Satan, also disguises himself as an angel of light. So because Satan does, false apostles also do. Are they deceived? Yes. Do they know it? Some do, some don't. But we cannot say this is the Holy Spirit at work when it contradicts the word of God, which is going to be one of my points tonight. Well, I guess, what spirit is it? And then second question for the manifestation is, does it contradict the word of God? I don't care if it's a prophetic word. I don't care if it's an unusual miracle. I don't care if it's a sign and a wonder. I don't care if it's holy laughter. I don't care if it's a word of knowledge. I don't care if it's tongues or an interpretation of tongues. Does it contradict the word of God? That you speak in a tongue and then interpret the tongue and the message contradicts God's word, it's not from God. I had a lady come up to me at a service recently. Said, hey, you know, my husband's not saved. He doesn't want to come to church. I'm saved. I'm a woman of God. I have the ministry. All this stuff she's telling me. She named a guy. I won't name him, but he's a famous influencer. He told me that I should leave my husband. I should leave my husband and find a man of God. And I asked her, has your husband cheat on you? No. Does he abuse you? No. Is he alive still? Yes. Okay, then you have no grounds to divorce him. You don't just divorce your husband because you want to go find a man of God and your husband's not a man of God. You just want to skip it, the work of praying for him and ministering to him. The Bible says you're supposed to stay with him. So that spiritual leader told you, God gave them a prophetic word. So God gave that spiritual leader a prophetic word for her. And the word was to find a new husband. That's demonic. It's a false word. So did the prophetic word contradict the word of God? Yes. Because the Bible says, if your husband's willing to stay with you and you're a Christian, stay with him. And your righteousness will cover him and your kids. And you might even, by your conduct, win him to the Lord. So now you have a preacher coming saying, or a false preacher saying, hey, God showed me that you're supposed to leave your husband. That manifestation is a false manifestation. It's a demonic manifestation. It contradicts the word of God. Any manifestation or spirit that contradicts the word of God is a demonic spirit. So we need to examine these things. We need to test these things. We know that in Matthew 24, Jesus warns us of false teachers and false manifestations. We need to be very careful of these deceitful things we're seeing in the body of Christ. Don't trust it just because it says it's godly or it says Jesus. We know that again in Matthew 24, the Bible says many will be deceived from these things. Many will be deceived. People think because a sign and wonder happens, it automatically validates the person as godly. That's not the case. It's not the case. Just because someone performs a miracle or sign and wonder, it doesn't validate the person's godly because we know that even the devil does signs and wonders. Look at this. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, to the working of Satan will come with power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception, because they do not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, and they will believe the lie, and they will be condemned who did not believe the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. So yes, Satan has power, and God will send a strong delusion. So this proves lying signs and wonders exist, false signs and wonders exist, and false miracles. We know in Exodus chapter 7, verse 8, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says, do you perform a miracle? Say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it on the ground. It'll become a snake. And then verse 10 of Exodus 7. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did what the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and it became a snake. Then Pharaoh summoned his wise men, sorcerers, and magicians and men of secret arts. And they threw their staffs down and they became snakes. But Aaron's staff swallowed up the snakes. So they had power. Pharaoh's magicians were using demonic power, making their staff a snake. And what happens in the body of Christ is Aaron has a staff that turns into a snake, right? The Egyptian magicians had a staff that turned into a snake, and we can't tell the difference. We don't know who's who. They're both doing similar signs and wonders. But remember, Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Why? True signs and wonders will triumph over fake ones. True signs and wonders will triumph over fake ones. And God's getting ready to destroy these false manifestations and false spirits. Now, just because something's unconventional or weird doesn't mean it's false. Let me be clear. There are signs and wonders that might seem weird, but they are of God. Acts 19, we see unusual miracles. I'll tell you some weird stuff that happened in the Bible. Isaiah 20 verse 1, Isaiah had to walk barefoot and naked for 3 years. Ezekiel was required to lay on his left side for 390 days and then for 40 days. He also had to prepare his food on a fire of cow poop. That's Ezekiel 4:4. Jesus healed in unconventional ways. Mark 7:32, Jesus healed a deaf and mute man by putting his finger in his ears and spitting and touching the man's tongue. John 9, he made clay with spit and healed a blind man. The book of Acts, we see unusual miracles, unconventional signs and wonders. I don't want you to think just because something's weird or unconventional or different that it's automatically false. Again, we need to ask ourselves, is this from God or is this from Satan? Does it contradict the word of God or not? I'm going to give you, man, I got a lot here and I'm going way, way, way too long. But just write this down. True signs and wonders validate, follow, and affirm the preaching of the word. That's in Mark 16. The signs and wonders are made to affirm and validate the word of God. Okay, let's ask ourselves a few things about signs and wonders. We're going to give seven, and I'm trying not to go super long here, seven ways to test spirits in churches, in our lives, in leaders, seven ways, okay? Number one, we need to ask ourselves this. Does the sign and wonder lead people to repentance? This goes for any teacher, any spirit, any preacher. In the New Testament, Jesus requires repentance even more than he required faith. Matthew 3, we see John the Baptist coming, preparing the way, calling people to repent. What you're not going to see with a lot of false apostles, false teachers, and false prophets, you're not going to hear them telling people to repent very often. A lot of it is not going to be a repentance. In fact, you would be hard-pressed to see repentance happen in some of these services. But remember, repentance was necessary and required. John the Baptist comes telling people to repent. And then Mark 1:15, when Jesus came, the first recorded word Jesus preached, do you want to know what it was? If you know it, type in the chat. What was the first word recorded that Jesus preached? If you don't know, it was repent. In Luke 13, he instructed the crowds, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And Mark 1:15, his first sermon was, repent. Okay? This is not a word you're going to hear in the church often today, but repentance was the foundation of the Christian faith in the New Testament. How has repentance become a cuss word in the church? Jesus did not say, invite me into your heart so I can join your compromised lifestyle and enhance your life on earth. He said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is right in front of you. Turn from your sins. After his resurrection, Jesus told the disciples to go preach and teach repentance. Go tell people to repent. The first message in the book of Acts, can you guys guess what that message was? It was repent and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Repent in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and be baptized. That was the message. So don't listen to liars, pastors, leaders that tell you you don't need to repent. And this is popular right now. It's like, we don't need repentance. The devil is a liar. We need to repent. Acts 17:30, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Turn from your sin. Change the way you think. Now, repentance is not an emotion. It's a decision of the will. It's a decision to turn from sin and unrighteousness and to submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's you saying, I'm wrong, God, you're right. I'm wrong about sin. I'm wrong about the things that I listen to. I'm wrong about the things that I watch. I'm turning from it. In fact, repentance is among the six foundational doctrines in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. 1,000 of your issues will be solved when you start living a repented life. A lot of the stuff you're dealing with is from an unrepented life. God is not going to repent for you. Write that down. God is not going to repent for me. You must acknowledge you're in sin, you're living wrong, and you must repent. My life message for 13 years has been that of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If the sign and wonder, if the miracle doesn't lead me to repentance, I question if it really was from God. People are like, I found feathers and gold dust and deliverance is happening and miracles. Praise God. Are people repenting? Are all these miracles and signs and wonders? Or are they still sleeping around, drinking, partying, telling dirty jokes? I want signs and wonders that lead me to the cross. I want signs and wonders that lead me to repentance. Praise God for deliverance. But what does it matter if a demon's cast out of you and you still don't repent? People come to me like, I want to get delivered, but I don't want to live for God. I don't want to repent. I don't want to serve God. Then I'm not doing deliverance on you. It's not a parlor trick. What does it matter that you get delivered, but you don't repent after? Like, we have all these services where we're doing deliverance. People are having miracles and we're prophesying over people. I have a prophetic word. When are we going to hear prophets? And I love prophecy. Like I said, I prophesy literally every altar call. I'm going through the crowd praying and prophesying over people. Love prophecy. I want to see more prophecy like, hey, there's sin in your life. God's calling you to repent. Why are all the prophetic words about God has a new ministry for you, wants to give you all these things? How about God wants to give you conviction? How about God wants you to repent of your sin? When are we going to prophesy about that? How about you're living with your girlfriend? God wants you to separate yourselves. Stop fornicating. Why are all the prophetic words? I see the Lord saying there's 100 of you that need to sow $1,000. One way, if you want to tell someone's a false prophet, see how quickly they start picking up an offering during the prophecy. Oh, the Lord's showing me. Wait a minute. The Lord's showing you there's 100 people that need to give $1,000, but the Lord's not showing you that these people need to repent? I'm confused. Is it more important that they sow $1,000 into your ministry, or is it more important that they repent? Man, these guys, and then they like, there's 5 of you that need to give $1,000, and then they shame 5 people to come forward. And then once those 5 people are awkwardly standing there for 30 minutes, like, there's 5 more of you. There's 5 more of you that God says you need to give $1,000. Just be honest. God's not telling you that. Be honest, nowhere in the New Testament did Paul ever get up and say, there's 5 of you in this room, they need to give 5,000. Their lives were changed and they brought the money to the church to distribute it accordingly. Nowhere in the New Testament do we see, there's 5 of you in here. God saying, sow this amount of money for your miracle, your deliverance. False, 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 false. We need to repent. Repent tonight. Repent. There's nobody comes to the Father except through the Son. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. So does these signs and wonders, these prophecies, these miracles lead to repentance? Number 2, do they lead to a love for Scripture? Are these things causing us to fall more in love with Scripture? Or are these things causing us to fall more in love with the minister performing them? Preach, Isaiah. I want signs and wonders. All of it. All that God has. Lord, do it all. Do signs and wonders. Do miracles. Do deliverances. I'm here for it. I love it. I receive it. Praise God. I pray for it all the time. All the time. Guys, how many times do I pray for miracles? We did 7 days of prayer. How many times did we pray for you to be healed? How many times do we pray for prophetic words and gifts of the Spirit and deliverance? I'm that guy. I love it. But I also want to make sure that what we're doing leads us to a love for Scripture. Does the Spirit, this prophecy, this sign and wonder, this minister, lead you to love for Scripture? There are guys, God, again, I know you're like, I know who you're talking about. There are guys that how do I say this without being too specific? They go live, let's just say it that way. And they go for an hour and they don't mention one Scripture. How? How do you get on for an hour and teach or preach or rant or whatever it is you do and you don't mention one verse? I want to make sure we're leading people to a love for Scripture. We need Scripture. We need to lead people to a love for the Word of God. Isaiah 66:2, God says, this is the one I esteem. He was humble, contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. Trembles at my word. I want to be that guy. I want to tremble at the Word of God. I want to be the person God esteems. Do you want to be the person God esteems? Okay, be humble. Be humble. You don't know it all. I don't know it all. Be contrite in spirit and tremble at the Word of God. Tremble at the Word of God. John 14:23. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and they will come and make, and I will make our home with each of them. They will do what I say. How do we know what Jesus said to do unless we read his word? Jesus said, all that love me, do what I say. Yet we're chasing the next prophetic word rather than falling in love with the word of Jesus, which is the Bible. So fall in love with that so we can do what he has to say. John 12:48 says we will be judged by God's word. There's a lot of deception happening. There's a lot of things going on in the body of Christ. Violate the word of God. God, write this down, never contradicts his word. Therefore, every spiritual manifestation must be tested according to the word of God, and anything that does not correspond with Scripture must be rejected. Must be rejected. Does the sign and wonder lead you to love for Scripture? Number three, does the sign and wonder, prophetic word, miracle, deliverance, I don't care what it is, preacher, pastor, sermon, fill in the blank. We're testing the Spirit. These are seven ways to test the Spirit. Does the manifestation glorify Jesus or the person? When lying signs and wonders take place, it's to bring attention to the person performing the sign and wonder, not bring attention to God. Any sign and wonder that doesn't glorify Jesus is not from God. What does a sign and wonder do? It points to God. A sign, a stop sign, okay? What does a stop sign do? It points to a greater reality. The sign saying, stop, because if you don't stop, you're going to get hit by a car. So the sign points to a greater reality, and the greater reality is stop at this line. A sign and wonder from God points at the greater reality, and that is God, the maker of the universe, heavens, and the earth, who wants you to repent, turn your life over to him, and submit to him. So the healing leads us to God. The casting out demons leads us to God. The miracles lead us to God. The signs and wonders lead us to God. The gold dust, the feathers, whatever it is, lead us to God. Whatever sign and wonder you think you're seeing or you are seeing, I'm not here to judge signs and wonders because I don't know. Praise God. Are they leading us to glorify Jesus or the person? If I see people that are heavily about themselves, going back to the modeling, it's all about me. Look how good looking I am, flexing in the mirror. More pictures about them and themselves and their style than God. Pointing you to Jesus. We're not pointing you to Jesus. We're pointing you to us. That scares me. That scares me. What did Jesus say in John 16:13? When the Spirit comes, he will guide you into truth and he will glorify me. So two main functions of the Holy Spirit. Number one, glorify Jesus, bring glory to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does, okay? Number two, the job of the Holy Spirit is to get you to fall in love with the Word of God. Fall in love with the Scripture. The Holy Spirit makes the Word come alive. He glorifies Jesus and makes the word come alive. That's why Jesus said the Spirit will lead you into all truth. He didn't say the Bible will lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit, when you read the Bible, will lead you into truth. That's why Mormons are able to use the Bible. How do they use the Bible falsely? They don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what leads you into truth. Leads you into truth. So that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So if the sign, wonder, miracle doesn't glorify Jesus, it glorifies the person doing it or the person receiving, probably not from God, okay? Number four, I'm trying to go fast. Do these miracles, signs, and wonders produce love for other Christians? John 13, 35, Jesus said, by this they'll know you're my disciples, your love for one another. The Apostle Paul echoes this in 1 Timothy 1, 5. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So we want to make sure that what we're doing, the miracles, signs, and wonders, we're having compassion for others. We're falling more in love with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Love for one another. Love for one another. Number five, are we more concerned now with the lost? Do the signs and wonders, ministry, manifestations, is it producing a passion to reach lost people? Are the signs and wonders causing us to have genuine concern over lost and hurting people? Or are we merely being entertained by these signs and wonders? Is there a growing love for the lost and hurting? Or are these signs and wonders another form of entertainment for us? I want to reach the lost, y'all. I don't want to babysit believers. You know, one of the things that's kept me going for 5 years, this is the fifth year, so 4 years of doing this, is reaching new people every day. On YouTube, we reach 100,000 plus new people every single day, new accounts every day on YouTube. That keeps me motivated. I want to reach the lost. Isaiah, why is your thumbnail, you know, it seems a little spooky. It seems a little bold, because I'm trying to reach the lost. I'm trying to reach the lost, and lost people don't click on little thumbnails that just have a little cross on the back. They click on thumbnails that are intriguing to them. So if I'm talking about witchcraft, I might have some type of witchcraft symbolism in the back to talk what I'm tell you what I'm talking about, and the unsaved person might be curious and click it and get saved. So I want to reach lost, and I want, through these signs and wonders, does the Spirit produce love? The world is ready. It's time to go. The harvest is plentiful, John 4:35. Okay? Number five is that. Number six, and then we're going to go over quickly the signs of someone that's easily deceived. And we're going to go over those quick. I just need to give you those because, you know, we got a lot to talk about next week about cult leader personalities and all that. But I want to make sure that I do this. Number six, does it produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Do the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the signs and wonders produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life? Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. So let's hold leaders to this standard. Me too. Hold me to this. Is there love in my life? Is there joy in my life? Is there peace in my life? Is there kindness in my life? You know, one of the things that happened to me when I became a Christian is I became kind to people. I became kind. I love people. I told you guys before, I literally drive when I'm driving. I pray somebody gets a flat tire so I can help them. I love helping people. I love being kind to people. Not because I want to be or I'm self-righteous or I'm special. No, the Spirit of God is working this thing out in me. The Holy Spirit's making me kind. I'm not kind outside of the Holy Ghost. So kindness, is the leader kind? Goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness is important. Are you being faithful to your church? Are you being faithful to your wife? Are you being faithful to God? I need to do a video on the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Are you showing up consistently? Is there gentleness in you? Are you gentle with your wife? Am I gentle with you guys? Are we gentle with each other? When I'm on the call-in shows, some of you get mad. You let people talk too long, Isaiah. Go to the next caller. Like, I'll sit there for 20 minutes sometimes, and the person's like, and then this happened to me when I was 3 and 5 and 7. They tell me their whole life story, and I just sit there and listen. Why? Because I got to be gentle with people. We need to be kind and patient and gentle. Some of you are like, move on, next caller. I want to be kind and patient and gentle. These are things leaders need to have. Self-control. Do we have self-control? Against these things, there is no law. So a spirit from God produces these things. If the manifestation, the spirit, the pastor, or anyone else is not exhibiting these, they're probably not functioning in the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. They're functioning in a demonic spirit. Write this down. Gifts of the Spirit are given. Fruits of the Spirit are cultivated. Gifts are free and instant. Fruit takes time to cultivate. Number seven, last one here, and then we're going to go quickly over the signs of someone who's easily deceived. So you make sure you're not that person. You make sure you're not. It blows my mind. I look at people that are in, that follow pastors that are actually more like cult leaders. and they function more like false prophets than real prophets. And I just go, how are these people so deceived? My mind's blown how they're cool with this. Pastors milking them for money, manipulating them, sexually abusing them, all that. I'm going to show you five traits people like that have that are deceived in a second. So number seven is, does it confess Jesus as Lord? Here's a good way to test a spirit. Does the spirit confess Jesus as Lord? 1 John 4, 2 through 3. This is how you recognize the spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. So Jesus is Lord. Do they acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do they acknowledge that Jesus Christ died? Do they acknowledge that Jesus Christ is our master, not just our savior? We have lost the lordship of Christ in the American church. Nobody wants Jesus as Lord. They just want him as their savior. Just pray a little prayer. He'll build a treehouse in your heart and you're fine. No, no, no. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus is Lord, Lord of our life. So we need to make sure that we are allowing him to be the Lord. I don't do what I want to do. He tells me what to do. He's the Lord of my life. That's very, very important. Okay. Now, lastly, I got to get through this. Guys, type one if I could have another minute. If I have one more minute, type one and I'll add them all together. It'll give me enough time. I know we're over an hour in already. This is our first Monday night teaching of the year, isn't it? Yeah, it is. I think this is our first one of the year. No. Wait, is it? We had New Year's. Did we do a teaching on New Year's? I don't even remember. But last Monday we had prayer. I think we did a teaching on New Year's. I don't remember. What did we do on New Year's? Who cares? All right. Very important. Number one, characteristic. Where's my points here? Relying on emotions too much. These are characteristics of people that have a high chance to be spiritually abused and deceived. These are people that have a high chance to be deceived by wicked leaders, as they're highly emotional and they rely on their emotions. This is dangerous to live your life out under just emotions, because you'll stop being able to distinguish what's God and what's not. People get emotional when God touches them. Yes, yes, it's emotional when God touches you. But realize there's many emotions that take place even under deception. People might say, but I felt really good when they prophesied over me. It must be from God. I felt really good during the sign and wonder. It must be from God. Or I was manifesting a certain way and it must be from God because it felt good. Or this felt right. It felt biblical. Don't go by your feelings. Your feelings will mislead you. Go by the word of God. Some of you know this. Now, let me prove to you that your emotions and your feelings can deceive you. How many of you stayed in a relationship far too long because of your feelings and your emotion? How many of you, your emotions and your feelings kept you in a bad relationship for longer than you should have been in it? That is proof. I stayed with someone for years that I shouldn't have. You know, my emotions, my feelings, your feelings and your emotions will lie on you, will lie to you. When you rely on emotions and feelings too much, you're an easy prey to the spirit of deception. Look at what 2 Corinthians 5:7 says. We walk by faith, not by sight. So we don't rely on our emotions or physical senses. We rely on God's words. So we don't follow feelings and emotions. We follow the word of God. Don't rely. If you rely too much on emotions and a feeling, I feel it. I feel good. The atmosphere. I have chill bumps. It just feels warm. It feels, you know, when they prophesy over me, when they do, don't go by feelings. Go by the word of God. Now, God will touch your feelings and your emotions, and you may get extremely emotional in God's presence, but we can't go by that and rely on that. So those that rely on emotions too much, they're easily deceived, okay? Number two is those who are looking only to human leaders and not looking to God. So when you start looking at human leaders more than God, that's when you start getting into deception. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. But when you stop relying on God and only rely on the human leaders, you're prey to that spirit of deception. No human leader is perfect or infallible. If you take everything they say without checking the scripture, you're walking on dangerous grounds, especially when human leaders tell you not to follow God's word. Go to the mountain for yourself. You don't need Moses. You don't need a high priest. Jesus is your high priest. Jesus is your high priest. He's your connection. He's your mediator. You do not need to wait for Isaiah Saldivar to pray for you. Let me say it again. You do not need me to lay hands on you. I am not Jesus. I am not Moses. Go to God directly. When you think you need a special man of God, you're going to fall under deception. You think that guy has to pray for me or I can't get delivered. That guy has to prophesy. If I could just get around the man of God, if he can just, that's false. That's not, you could go directly to God. You could go directly to God. Don't rely on a man of God to give you some special water, special blessing, special anointing oil, none of that. Rely on God more than some man of God, okay? So people that look only to human leaders. Now, Paul did say, follow me as I follow Christ. So you can follow human leaders. Just be careful that you're not looking to them more than you're looking to God. Number three, someone that falls into deception easy. Accepting the supernatural as always from God. Jesus himself said false prophets will rise and perform great signs and wonders and deceive many. So just because the supernatural is happening, do not accept it blindly as it's coming from God, okay? We need to test it, which is why I just told you seven ways to test it. If the supernatural's happening, great. Let's figure out, is it from God or is it not from God? Because the devil disguises himself. He infiltrates the church. He infiltrates ministries. He infiltrates ministers. One of the first signs is the minister gets proud. He gets prideful. He's no longer teachable. He's no longer correctable. When a man of God starts getting prideful and they can no longer be corrected and they get no longer teachable and they're off on an island by themselves, that's when deception starts setting in. And you cannot accept that the supernatural is always from God. The devil comes like that with pride. The devil comes as an angel of light. Pride is disgusting. It's one of the worst things. Be very careful with prideful leaders. All right, number four. And if you're a leader watching this and you're mad, you're like, you're probably guilty. If you're mad, you're probably guilty of these things. Just repent and change. Don't be mad at me. I'm just quoting scripture. Be mad and change. Be mad about it. Be like, oh, I can't believe he's talking about me. And then be like, oh, I can't believe he's talking about me. I need to repent. It's simple. If I'm watching a preacher and I'm convicted, I don't get mad at the preacher. I don't say, how dare that preacher talk about what I'm struggling with. No, I don't get mad at him. I go, oh, God's speaking to me. I need to repent and turn from my ways. I'm wicked. Number four, people that are prone to be deceived, they're unwilling to suffer or face persecution. Look at what Timothy 3:12 says. All who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. So suffering is part of the Christian life. God uses suffering to shape us. A lot of false teachers and false prophets teach that there is no suffering. Everything's roses and dandy. Anyone who expects or promises only good is a false prophet. Anyone who expects or promises you only good things is a false prophet. Remember, Jeremiah 6, false prophets declare peace when there is no peace. So we must accept that suffering does take place. Suffering does happen. Not everything is roses. And the false easy gospel is a false easy gospel. It's false, okay? Number five and last point here. Someone that's prone. I told you I'd go fast on these. And then we're going to pray that we're not deceived and that God would continue to expose whoever he wants to expose, okay? Number five, someone that's prone to being deceived and abused by leaders. And again, we're going to go into more of this next week because I think it's relevant for what God is doing right now. And I feel like the Lord's telling me to do it, so I'm following him. Ignorance of scripture. We all have Bibles at our disposal. There is no excuse for you not to be reading your Bible. What did Jesus fight Satan off with? The scripture. This is our weapon against the enemy. We arm ourselves with the word of God. We need to be armed with the word of God. Do not be ignorant. I'm telling you right now, this is why people are under deception right now in the body of Christ. They don't know the scripture. They don't read the Bible for themselves. They only look to the spiritual leader to give them the scripture and to feed them. Feed me, feed me, feed me. They're like little babies. But God is saying, get in the word of God, study the Bible. I know when people are false because I know the Bible. So I'm like, no, that doesn't pass the test. I know what the Bible says and something's not mathing here. Something's not adding up here. You're saying something that is opposite of what the Bible clearly teaches. So be very, very careful of that. We need not to be ignorant of the scripture, okay? Now let us pray. Father, I thank you for what you're doing among us tonight, Lord. God, I pray that you would break the power of deception off of us, God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to test spirits. I pray, God, if there's anybody in this chat that is under deception, that is being spiritually abused, that is being spiritually manipulated or dominated, or they're under witchcraft, Lord, I pray tonight, open up their eyes. Bring them out of the deception, God. Bring them out of the deception, God. Whatever it is they're under that's causing them to be deceived, bring them out of that leader, that deceived leader. Right now, I pray in Jesus' name, God, do what only you can do. Do what only you can do, Lord. Break that deception off of them. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would break the deception off of them. I pray, God, you would break this deception off the body of Christ, God. If any of us are deceived or under deceptive leadership, following deceptive leaders, false prophets, false apostles, the Bible keeps saying that they're real, that they're all over. I pray, God, that you would show us and open our eyes. God, if I am connected with any false apostles, false prophets, or false leaders, I pray as even Jeremiah Johnson's word was that separate ties, don't pledge allegiance to men. God, help me make sure that I'm not connected to any false teachers, false preachers, false leaders, God. Lord, I pray you'd keep us humble right now. I want you to type in the chat, humble me. I'm going to type that as well. Humble me, Lord. I typed that in the chat. God, I pray that you would just humble me. One of my life's prayer for 13 years is, God, keep me humble. I pray that prayer probably more than any other prayer, maybe. And I just want, Lord, to keep me humble. God, I pray that you would keep me humble, God, that I would not get puffed up in pride. God, that I would not get puffed up in arrogance. God, that I would not think that I'm better than I really am. Paul says, don't think you're better than you really are. Lord, I pray I would not buy my own press. I would not see all the comments of the how much people love me and buy into that, God. But Lord, keep me humble. Remove pride out of my heart, God. Remove arrogance out of my heart. Any haughtiness in my heart, God, remove it tonight, Lord. Chat, pray that. Pray that God would remove pride, that he would humble you. Man, pride is so hard. It's so hard to break free from. But God wants to break the pride in you right now. God, we're nothing without you. We need you, Holy Spirit, in our lives. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit and power. Lord, fill us with your fire and your anointing. Overflow, God. Overwhelm us with your glory and your presence, Lord. We rebuke pride in Jesus' name. We rebuke arrogance in Jesus' name. Satan, you have no power. Leave us in Jesus' name. God, I pray you'd expose the works of Satan, God. Lord, expose the works of Satan, I pray, in Jesus' name. Expose the works of Satan, Lord. God, if we're under deception, expose it. Expose leaders, we pray. God, we want you to expose leaders. God, we want you to expose wicked leaders. We don't want to be under wicked leadership. Lord, we know in 2024, there's exposure happening. We've already seen it over and over, and it's continuing. So, Lord, have your way. Expose the ungodly and the unrighteous for your honor and your glory. Let it come to light, God. We just pray whatever is happening in darkness, let it come to light. God, I pray victims of spiritual abuse, that you'd bring healing and wholeness. Some of you are victims of spiritual abuse. You've been under a pastor, a leader, a church that spiritually abused you, manipulated you, maybe even physically abused you. Verbally abuse you. I just pray, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, that you would bring them out of that deception right now, God, and heal their heart, God, heal their mind. Any unclean spirits that came in, any demonic impartation or demonic spirits that came in through ministries, I pray, God, you deliver them of that. Any spirits that came being under a demonic ministry or a false reformation or a false ministry, I pray, Lord, you deliver us from that. We want to be pure, spotless, clean. And some of you need to repent of justification. You see wicked leaders do these bad things and you go, oh, it's fine. They're men of God. They've reached people. I don't care if you've reached 100 million people. If you're abusing people, you are false, you are wrong, and you will end up in hell if you don't repent. No more justification. Let's hold leaders to a higher standard. Let's hold ourselves to a higher standard. Thank you, Lord, for healing those that are spiritually abused. I even pray, God, those that have left the church because of abuse, I pray that they would come back, God. I pray that you would show them, Lord, that just because they were abused doesn't mean you're abusive, Lord. God, we pray, bring them back. Bring them back. We pray, God, bring them back to church, Lord. If they've been hurt by the church, abused by the church, I just pray they'd be healed and restored right now. Guys, if you've been hurt by the church or abused, God wants to heal you. God wants to restore you. God wants to renew you in Jesus' name. Just touch them tonight, God. Soften their hearts. Pour your spirit out upon them. God wants to lift that heavy burden. He says, cast your cares onto me. God says you can throw your cares on him. He'll carry your worries and your cares and your pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Use them for your honor and your glory, Lord. Anoint them, Father. Let us walk in truth, Jesus. Let us walk in your word. Give us a love for scripture. Give us a love for prayer, God. Cleanse us. Make us whole again, Lord. Renew us, God, in Jesus' name. Renew us, God, in Jesus' name. Pour out your spirit upon us, Lord. Baptize us afresh in fire. And I just pray tonight, God, do it all you can do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @IsaiahSaldivar. See you next week.